Radio Prague News.
The Czech and Chinese presidents have signed a strategic partnership treaty. Around 500 people protested in Prague against the closening of relations with Beijing. And Paul McCartney is set to play his second ever Czech concert in June. The Czech and Chinese presidents Miloš Zeman and Xi Jinping signed a strategic partnership treaty between the two states at Prague Castle on Tuesday. Ministers from both countries also signed a number of memoranda of understanding in areas including industry, transport, health and education. Earlier, Mr. Xi, who is the first Chinese president to visit the Czech Republic, had been welcomed at Prague Castle with full military honours. He said the two countries should intensify practical cooperation and reinforce the connections between them. Mr. Zeman said that Chinese investment in the Czech Republic this year would reach 95 billion crowns. The Czech head of state also emphasised the personal friendship between him and Mr. Xi, apologising humorously that unlike the latter's host in the US or UK, he couldn't offer a White House or golden carriage. Around 500 people held a demonstration on Prague's Kampa on Tuesday afternoon against closening relations between the Czech Republic and China. The gathering took place in view of the Liechtenstein Palace, where the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, was meeting senior Czech officials, including Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka. As with similar protests on the first day of Mr. Xi's visit on Monday, Chinese supporters of the president also appeared at the scene carrying large flags. The anti-China protesters later marched in the direction of Prague Castle. Miroslav Kalousek and Karel Schwarzenberg, the leader and former leader of the opposition Top 09 party, hung a Tibetan flag from the windows of the Chamber of Deputies on Tuesday. The move came as the Chinese president met with senior Czech officials in Prague, and Mr. Schwarzenberg said it was appropriate to demonstrate a dictator responsible for mass executions, a cult of personality and severe censorship. A new chapel to be used by MPs has been opened at the lower house of the Czech Parliament. Representatives of various churches attended Tuesday's opening ceremony at the chapel, which was designed by architect Josef Pleskot. A deputy chairman of the Chamber of Deputies, Jan Bartoszek of the Christian Democrats, said there'd been demand for such a prayer centre for some time. Paul McCartney will play his second ever concert in the Czech Republic at Prague's O2 Arena on the 16th of June. That's as part of his one-on-one world tour, promoters Live Nation announced on Tuesday. The former Beatles' previous concert in Prague took place at a makeshift outdoor site in an old industrial part of the city in 2004. Tickets for the upcoming concert, which range in price from 1,700 crowns to 4,000 crowns, go on general sale on the 1st of April. The Czech national soccer team are preparing for their final warm-up game before the European Championship in France. Pavel Vrba's men are set to take on a Swedish team featuring world star Zlatan Ibrahimovic in Stockholm, 5 days after a 1-0 home defeat to Scotland in another friendly. Tuesday night's game is seen as a final chance for some players to prove they deserve to be in the squad for the summer's Euros, which get underway in the middle of June. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, the big news this day, Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit to the Czech Republic. We'll have all the details, including what business opportunities the visit is expected to bring. Then a little later in the program, stay tuned for In Focus. Find out why women are making on average 22% less than men in the Czech Republic. Chinese President Xi Jinping is in the Czech Republic on a two-day state visit that aims to symbolize a restart in relations between the two countries. His lavish reception in Prague has evoked mixed reactions, though, with some officials hailing the visit as the beginning of a new era in business relations and others interpreting it as a betrayal of human rights and democratic values. Daniela Lazarova has more.
The first ever visit by the Chinese head of state was marked by controversy even before President Xi Jinping's plane touched down at Václav Havel Airport. 12 people were detained after replacing some of the Chinese flags decorating the main route from the airport to the city centre with Tibetan ones, and a group of Chinese nationals waiting to welcome the president en route to his hotel got into a scuffle with protesters out to remind the Chinese leader of his country's human rights violations. Tension was also high on the political scene in the wake of an interview that President Miloš Zeman gave to China's CCTV News on the eve of the high-profile visit, in which he claimed that the former right-wing government was to blame for the poor state of Czech-Chinese relations.
There was very bad relationship between China and the former government of the Czech Republic, former government, I stress, because this government has been very submissive as for the pressure from the United States and from the European Union. Now we are again an independent country and we formulate a foreign policy which is based on our own interest, national interest. And we do not interfere in the internal affairs of any other country.
The president's words drew sharp criticism from the opposition parties. The head of the former centre-right government, Petr Nečas, reminded the president that it was in fact his government that set the ground for a more pragmatic policy line in relation to China, while Topo 9 leader Miroslav Kalousek noted that since the Czech Republic is a member of the EU and NATO, the president's statement was a rejection of the foreign policy that guarantees the country freedom and security. Away from the controversy, President Xi Jinping was given a lavish welcome such as Prague had not witnessed for decades. An alley of Czech and Chinese flags marked the route to his hotel. Prominently placed billboards welcomed him to the Czech Republic in Czech and Chinese. And a welcome with military honours, including a 21-gun salute, awaited him at Prague Castle. At a ceremony at Prague Castle on Tuesday, the Czech and Chinese presidents oversaw the signing of a number of bilateral agreements, including a document on strategic partnership. The Czech president and the government, which have been actively courting Chinese investments for some time, say their efforts will bear fruit in the form of multi-billion crown deals, new job opportunities, and increased exports to China. Skeptics argue that so far the Czech Republic has little to show for its diplomatic efforts, and countries such as South Korea already have far bigger investments in the Czech Republic without the need for excessive servility.
And that was Daniela Lazarova reporting there on the Chinese president's visit. And now we're going to focus a little bit on what some of those business opportunities might bring. And for that, here is reporter Chris Johnstone.
Czech President Miloš Zeman announced Tuesday that Chinese investment in the Czech Republic this year should reach 95 billion crowns. But he added that business is going both ways and gave the example of the Czech Republic's biggest local car maker, which already manufactures in China.
Firma Škoda Auto, což je naše nejúspěšnější firma.
The company Škoda Auto, which is our most successful company, will during the next 5 years invest 60 billion crowns to expand its manufacturing facilities in the People's Republic of China. I also value the investments of our aviation industry there, and I could go on and on.
Zeman was speaking after the signing of a host of bilateral agreements concerning investment, financial regulation, the health sector, industrial zones and aviation. The main agreement makes the Czech Republic a strategic partner for China. Other business deals should be inked on Wednesday. Figures out Tuesday showed that the value of Chinese investments in Czech companies more than doubled in 2015 compared with a year earlier. But even the so-called first wave of investment still puts the Chinese way down in 21st place amongst foreign investors in the country. China is already the Czech Republic's biggest trading partner outside of Europe, but the $11 billion two-way relationship is overwhelmingly one-way, Chinese goods heading towards Czech purchasers. Nobody believes that trend will be reversed soon, although in a recent survey of small and medium-sized Czech businesses, almost one in five said they were looking to launch exports to China. Minister of Finance and ANO leader Andrej Babiš was part of the delegation welcoming the Chinese president to Prague Castle on Tuesday, but earlier he played down the benefits that Chinese investment might bring to the state finances.
It is mostly private companies that are buying firms. They are buying real estate, and the good thing to come from that is that there is some income from taxes on change of ownership, but this is pretty much small change.
Czech media on Tuesday highlighted how neighbouring countries such as Poland and Slovakia also experienced the short-lived Chinese euphoria during presidential visits to their countries over the previous 5 years. They too received strategic partner status. But Slovakia has seen thin results from the 2009 visit in the succeeding years. Poland's incoming Chinese investment stands at just over 4 billion crowns since becoming a strategic partner in 2011. A highly publicised project for Chinese companies to build a 50-kilometre stretch of motorway between Warsaw and Berlin had to be cancelled after it ran into troubles. That, the report suggests, could be a warning not to get too carried away.
Chris Johnson with that story. And if you've been following the Chinese president's visit to the Czech Republic and would like to comment or have any questions for us, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. Now, though, it's time for today's main feature in focus about wage equality, and that's hosted by Daniela Lazarova.
Women in the Czech Republic still make on average 22% less than men. The wage gap is highest in the private sector, although to a lesser extent it is also present in the public sphere. The NGO Business and Professional Women has for years been raising awareness of the problem and helping to combat it. On March 18th, which marks Equal Pay Day, they held a conference of the same name, at which they speed-mentored women in different areas of business on how to negotiate a higher salary. I asked Lenka Mrazova of BPW, one of the mentors at the conference, to tell me more about the problem.
Currently, there is a 22% difference between the average salary of men versus female salaries.
Oh, I understand that Equal Pay Day was March the 18th, so that goes to show how much longer women had to work to earn the same as men did last year.
Exactly. The date for the huge conference, Equal Pay Day, was selected by intention to pay attention exactly to the fact that until the 18th or 19th March, we women are working, in fact, for the state, if we may call it.
Where do you see the roots of the problem? Why do women make 22% less on average?
I would say we are not so self-confident and we do not negotiate about our salary. We take the position and we are happy with the offer we were provided. And we do not negotiate in that extent as men are used to negotiate and ask for more favorable treatment, additional benefits, etc. This is one reason. And the second is self-confidence. The maternity leave in the Czech Republic is pretty long. What is, from the family perspective, great. However, if a woman is returning back after 3 or even after 6, 7 years being home with 2 or 3 children, she usually does not have so, I call it, productive habits, and importantly, she does not trust that she can be soon as productive as she was before the maternity leave starts. And therefore, she is, I would say, happy and very, very nice to the potential or current employer and is not asking for more. And if you are entering somewhere from the beginning And if you enter there with 20,000 salary, you are happy with each increase for 2,000-3,000 in a future, but you do not negotiate straight from the beginning. Okay, I believe I can receive 30,000 in this position. I increase my competences. I am again so confident as I was before the maternity leave. Give me the increase about 5,000. This is the way, as the women are not used to deal.
What justification do our entrepreneurs give for paying women less? How do they explain this?
Well, usually the explanation is, this is a business, and this is the trade-off. Imagine that you are coming to the job interview. You receive the description, and you ask for that type of the salary. And if I would be the entrepreneur, and if someone is asking me for the, I would say, lower part of my range that I have in my mind, I may think, okay, probably this is not so confident person, or maybe there is a lack of knowledge, lack of competencies, but let's try it with this person and give him the salary what he or she is asking for. Mm-hmm. If she proves that this is a real, reliable, confident person, full of competencies for the job, I may increase it. But usually the entrepreneurs are increasing the salary when they are asked for the increase. They wait to be asked.
Do you feel that there is a belief that the man is the breadwinner and basically the man would leave if he doesn't get a higher salary while the woman wouldn't, and that the woman is more likely to stay at home with the children when they're ill and so on?
I would say still it is in the mind of some of them, but I would say they are protecting the money. They would be willing to offer more, but if no one requests it.
What is the situation if you compare the public and private sector?
I am talking more about the private, because in public sector it should be definitely automatic. Because you have the salary grids, salary ranges, and on that it might be the small difference. But again, you have a certain difference, for instance, 3,000-5,000. And it's again probably the women are offered lower, and when they accept it, when they do not dare to ask for more, they receive it. And it's, of course, I don't want to call it illegal, but definitely unjustifiable. And it should be the same in the private sector as well. But there is in a private sector, it is more about the negotiation. And we as women usually do not like the word to negotiate.
The Czech Republic, when you look at the list of EU countries and
yes,
the wage gap between men and women, the Czech Republic is the third worst on
exactly
the list, third up from the bottom in securing equal wages for men and women. Why do you think that is so? And behind us are Austria and Estonia. So basically this is something we share with Austria. Do you have any idea why? And why is the Czech Republic so bad at this?
Definitely one reason can be that women are having a really long maternity leave. Because if you are working in Germany and if you have usually 1 year maternity leave, the employer is more waiting really for you and is temporarily replacing the job gap when you are off. And usually you continue. Whereas if you are here already 3 years out, there must be a functional replacement for that 3 years, and usually the company is during 3 years changing, etc. And usually it can be that even the woman returning after maternity leave is returning to the same company, but even though not for the same function, not for the same position.
You mentioned that one of the problems was the fact that they spend so much longer on maternity leave than people in Germany or the women in Germany and other countries. Well, is this going to change? Because obviously if that is one of the main problems, then, maybe they simply do not want to rush to work after spending a year with a child.
It's as well in the families and in the approach of the father or very close family. Because usually the woman may be willing to return to the work earlier, but if there is not, I would say, sufficient logistic around her and not proper support from the other partner, it's sometimes treated that, okay, it's your job to take care for the children, and it's up to you to settle, to find the kindergarten or the private nanny, etc. And then if everything is settled, you may return to the job earlier.
Lower wages for women are projected into lower pensions, and thereby older women are more likely to be threatened by poverty. Is that right?
Fully correct.
And what is the government doing to address this problem? If the government is doing anything at all to address it?
To be honest, I believe that the government is doing something. At least there is the government draft until what should be done on a diversity level until the year 2020. But there is not so much, I don't want to call it advertising or propaganda about it. They are measurements, they are suggested good measurements, but in my eyes, they are still not implemented.
And what is the organization Business and Professional Women doing in this respect?
What we are doing, I believe that Equal Pay Day is one of the real good opportunity for all the women to get the self-confidence and exactly learn not only how to negotiate it, how to negotiate the salary, but there is a chance to negotiate. And it was, I remember that two speakers asked on Friday independently how many women in a room already negotiated the salary. And I believe that hands up, it was about 10% of the all women in the room. And the Equal Pay Day is great even where 1,000 women are coming for the speed mentoring day, and approximately 300 women attended on Friday the conference. We listened all the other women and men stories about success, about the, okay, falling down, how they learn from it, what they achieve, how they overcome, about the mistake they've done, how they realize it, and how they improve. And on Saturday, it was the speed mentoring day, where overall 57 female mentors, the adult or major personalities with experience from private business, televisions, all even from the NGOs, were sitting always for 1 hour with up to 15 women and discussing one issue. And it is really a discussion. It is not a just monologue of the mentors to be listened by the 15 ladies, but it was a sometimes even tough discussion or intensive discussion to the topic, where the ladies among themselves exchanged the positive experience, positive habits, on contra, their failures, etc. And usually the outcome is that the woman realizes, okay, if she achieved, I can do that either.
Are Czech women listening?
Yes.
On a national scale, I don't mean just at the conference, but are Czech women ready to do this now?
If all are ready, I cannot guarantee, but some of them are, and they are young women, and I was with the Equal Pay Day for the fourth time, and I really feel that the women are stronger and stronger.
If you were to give me an estimate, when do you think that this wage gap, this discrepancy may be corrected time-wise? How many years do you think it may take?
I hope the optimistic estimate is 10 years. I would be happy if it is earlier, but let's see what is in by the year 2020, and then maybe even with the new generation, with the Generation Y, they are even more self-confident, and I hope they will be taking it more seriously and really would fight for themselves, because they are somehow by nature more self-confident than the woman 40 plus.
And that was Linka Mrazova of BPW. She was one of the mentors at a recent conference on wage equality, and she was talking there to Daniela Lazarova in that edition of In Focus. That brings us just about to the end of today's program, but as always, don't forget, you can find us on the web. Radio.cz is the address to visit for many more stories, news items, features, and all that. I'm Jan Vellinger. For myself and for all the rest of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.